ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, Text 12. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yatha agnim edhasi amritam cha goshu bhuvi. Annam ambu udyamane cha vrittim yogai manushyaha adhyanti hi tvam guneshu buddha Kavayaha Vadanti Yatagni Medhasyam Ritam Chagoshu Bhuvyannam Ambudyamane Chavrittim Yogair manushya adhyanti hi tvam Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti Yathagni medhasyam ritam cha goshu Bhuvyannam ambudyamane cha vrittim Yogair manushya adhyanti hi tvam Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti Yatagne medhyasyam ritam chagoshu Bhuvyannam ambodhyamane chavrittim Yogair manusha adhyanti tvam Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti Yatagni medhyasya mritam cha goshu Bhuvyannam udyudmane cha vrittim
Yogair manushya adhyanti hi tvam
Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti Yatagni medhyasya mritam cha goshu Bhuvyannam ambudyamane cha vrittim Yogair Manusha Adhyanti Twam. Guneshu Buddha Kavayo Vadanti. Ladies, please. Yatagne Medhasamit. Bhuvyannamudyamane chavrittim. Yogair manusha adhyantihi twam. Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti. Yatagne medhya samritam chagoshu. Bhuvyanama bhuvyanichavritim. Yogai manusha abhayantihi twam. Guneshu buddhya kavayo vadanti. Yatha, as agnim, fire, edhasi, in wood, amritam, milk, which is like nectar, cha, and goshu, from cows, bhuvi, on the ground, annam, food grains, ambu, water, udyamane, in enterprise, cha, also. Vrittim, livelihood. Yogaihi, by practice of bhakti yoga. Manushyaha, human beings. Adhyanti, achieve. He, indeed. Tvam, you, guneshu, in the material modes of nature, buddhya, by intelligence, kavayaha, great personalities, vadanti, say, verse translation, as one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food, grains, and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of bhakti yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. Purport. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is nirguna, not to be found within this material world, the entire material world is pervaded by him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say? The whole material world is pervaded by him. Maya tatam idam saravam. The material world is nothing. Right? Buddhism, right? The material world is nothing. The material world is nothing but an expansion of the Lord's material energy. And the entire cosmic manifestation rests upon him. Matsthani sarvabhutani. Nonetheless, the Supreme Lord cannot be found here. Nachahang teshvavasthitaha. A devotee, however, can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the practice of Bhakti Yoga. One ordinarily does not begin to practice Bhakti Yoga unless he has practiced it in previous births. Moreover, one can begin Bhakti Yoga only by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of devotional service is obtainable by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only by the practice of Bhakti Yoga can one achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him face to face. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. One cannot see the Lord by other methods such as karma, jnana, or yoga. Under the direction of the spiritual master, one must cultivate bhakti yoga, shravanam kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam. Then, even within this material world, although the Lord is not visible, a devotee can see him. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, bhaktyaham ekaya grahyaha. Thus, by devotional service, one can achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is not visible or understandable to materialistic persons. In this verse, the cultivation of bhakti yoga is compared to many material activities. By friction, one can get fire from wood. By digging the earth, one can get food, grains, and water. And by agitating the milk bag of the cow, one can get nectarian milk. Milk is compared to nectar, which one can drink to become immortal. Of course, simply drinking milk will not make one immortal, but it can increase the duration of one's life. In modern civilization, men do not think milk to be important, and therefore they do not live very long. Although in this age men can live up to 100 years, their duration of life is reduced because they do not drink large quantities of milk. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, instead of drinking milk, people prefer to slaughter an animal and eat its flesh. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his instructions of Bhagavad Gita, advises Goraksha, which means cow protection. The cow should be protected, milk should be drawn from the cows, and this milk should be prepared in various ways. One should take ample milk, and thus one can prolong one's life, develop his brain, execute devotional service, and ultimately attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is essential to get food, grains, and water by digging the earth, it is also essential to give protection to the cows and take nectarian milk from their milk bags. The people of this age are inclined toward industrial enterprises for comfortable living, but they refuse to endeavor to execute devotional service by which they can achieve the ultimate goal of life by returning home, back to Godhead. Unfortunately, as it is said, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum durashaya ye bahiratamaninaha. People without spiritual education do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Forgetting this aim of life, they are working very hard in disappointment and frustration. Mogha sha mogha karmano. Mogha jnana vicheta saha. The so-called Vaishyas, the industrialists or businessmen, are involved in big industrial enterprises, but they are not interested in food, grains, and milk. However, as indicated here, by digging for water, even in the desert, we can produce food grains. When we produce food, grains, and vegetables, we can give protection to the cows. While giving protection to the cows, we can draw from them abundant quantities of milk. And by getting enough milk and combining it with food, grains and vegetables, we can prepare hundreds of nectarian foods. We can happily eat this food and thus avoid industrial enterprises and joblessness. Agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. Those who are sinful cannot be attracted by devotional service, as stated in Bhagavad Gita in this regard. Please tell me the verse. Yeshang twantagatang papam jananang punya karmanam tidvanva moha nirmukta bhajante mangjura prataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. The majority of people in this age of Kali are sinful, short-living, unfortunate, and disturbed. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadutaha. For them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalau nascheva, nascheva, nascheva gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Surupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Mathurim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tandatosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamsa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Example is given in this verse. One can derive fire from wood. Fire is not seen in wood, but those who know the process can extract fire from it. Milk can be extracted from the milk bag of a cow. Those who don't know won't be able to take the milk, but those who know, you can't see the milk when it's inside the milk bag of a cow, but those who know the process can take it out. One may not imagine that food grains can come from the earth. If people who live in big modern cities, they think food grains come in packets from shops, they might be surprised to see how food grains come from the earth. And water, water comes from the earth. One who's maybe just walking on the land and not understand that water can be extracted from underneath the land. Those who know, they can take advantage and be benefited. So similarly, the example is given here that even though Krishna cannot be seen within this world, there is a process called bhakti yoga by which one can approach Krishna. One can see him, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport. And parallel to this, we can see that although in this verse there might not be so much that we might think to talk about, but then Srila Prabhupada has brought out so many points in the purport. He sees things that we don't see, or by his grace we can begin to see them, which he mentions in this purport also, that the process is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then one can get trained and understand all these things. In this verse, one of the points that Srila Prabhupada has emphasized is the necessity of cow protection as compared to the industrial civilization. In this regard, I'll read from one of the purports that Srila Prabhupada composed even before traveling to the West. This is from Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 4. Purport. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Grains and vegetables can sumptuously feed a man and animals, and a fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply a man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grain, enough fruit, enough cotton, enough silk, and enough jewels, then why do people need economic development in the shape of tools and machines? Can tools and machines supply vigor and vitality to men and animals? Can machinery produce grain, fruit, and milk, or jewels and silk? Are jewels and silk, along with varieties of foodstuffs prepared with ghee, grain, milk and fruits, not sufficient for man's pure, luxurious and healthy life? Then what is the need of an artificial, luxurious life of cinemas, cars, radio, flesh and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything more than the doggish mentality of quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man?" Srila Prabhupada often made such statements about the course of human society at the present time. Here's another quote again from the first canto composed by Srila Prabhupada before he went to the West. Chapter 17, text 24. "So-called advancement of civilization, he saw, Srila Prabhupada, as the root causes of all irreligiosities. And Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't that he softened up. This, I'll read now from Canto 10 purport. This was the Canto 1 purports were composed in Vrindavan before Srila Prabhupada went to the West. And the Canto 10 purports were after Srila Prabhupada had been in the West for over 10 years. He wrote in Canto 10, Chapter 5, Text 26 purport, "Because they are not giving any importance to the instructions of Krishna, the advancement of their so-called civilization resembles the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum." That's how Srila Prabhupada saw it. And the cause, they're not giving importance to the instructions of Krishna. So it's a society of madmen. In the purport from Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 4, I read just now, Srila Prabhupada said, he wrote about sending thousands of men into hellish factories and the war fields. But actually what passes as civilization at the present time, it's a very elaborate system for sending not just thousands of men, but the whole population to hell. The war field is hell. The factory is hell. Dungeon for demons. Srila Prabhupada gave us a synonym of factory. Dungeons for demons. But what passes as civilization nowadays is just sending, everyone goes to hell. It's designed to make a hellish condition on the earth now. And because this, their so-called advancement of civilization is the root cause of all irreligiosity, then everyone goes to hell. From the very beginning of a person's life, any possibility of spiritual inclination is consciously suppressed by the powers that be, by channeling his attention into pursuits that are designed to keep him in ignorance. And that's not, I'm not just speaking here metaphorically or theoretically. It's a very conscious endeavor by the powers that be, that by television and now the internet and channeling people's interest into pornography and sports, following the affairs of cinema stars and the royal family, celebrities made into celebrities for what? For what did they do of any benefit to human society? Nothing. But they become the object of people's interest. So in this way, the dumbing down of society. Srila Prabhupada also noted this, that the leaders of society, they want to keep people in ignorance so that they can manipulate them. But the actual effect is that the leaders all go to hell and the followers all go to hell. Yata andhaya, what is that verse? Tipi shatantram urudam nibadham. What's the line before that? Andha yata. Andha yata. Ya, andha yata andha rupaniyamanas. It's a common theme. It's not only in the Bhagavatam. This comes up in the Upanishads also. The blind leading the blind. So the exploitive leaders, their motive is to exploit, quite opposite to Vedic civilization, where the leaders, they're supposed to help everyone develop their inherent ability to be Krishna conscious. But the demoniac leaders, they want to exploit others. So that they are competent, the followers or the masses of people are competent. They're insisting on everyone has to go to school so they can be trained to work in their society. And not only trained so they can be technologically savvy, but also to have the mentality of being Shudras. I must say myself, before I joined this movement, at school, and again at the age 15 or 16, then you start to think, well, what kind of job are you going to have? And then during the summer, you do some job to get some money. I never thought, well, maybe I could do my own business. The thought never came to my mind. In America, it's more business, or there's more that entrepreneurial spirit. Get out and earn money by yourself. But just the idea of getting a job. And I would guess in the ex-Yugoslavia, it's like that too, right? Because there was no businesses as such, or hardly, in the socialist times. So they just brainwash everyone. You've got to get a job, right? And in India at the present time too, it's just, what kind of job are you going to get? The whole education is geared to getting a job. So you can work for someone and say, I got a good job. A good job means you earn more money than other people do. But for every paisa you earn, the person who's employing you is earning at least a rupee. So you may think I'm doing very well, but someone up there is sniggering all the way to the bank or all the way to Switzerland or whatever. So they make this compulsory mass education, and then they make the big cities with big factories, and all this mass education, it destroys all simple home-based education occupations such as looking after cows, pottery, being a village barber, or even a town barber. They used to sit on the side of the road, right, the barbers, and just, nowadays you're not allowed to do that. You have to have a shop to sit in. Small businesses, small farms. It just destroys all that. One reason is that there's no home training, because you have to send the children to school. Whereas previously, you don't have a clue about this in Sweden. It's been a socialist country such a long time, huh? And it's just the state oversees everything you do. From the moment you're born, literally, right? The most socialistic country in the world. Even it was more even than Russia was, probably. So children at a young age, they used to, the young boy would help with the father with making pots if he's a potter. Young girls might help also gathering the earth and all this kind of thing. But they can't do that nowadays. They advertise these fancy schools. If you go to Bangalore, in the fancy schools where you pay a lot of money to send your kids, they show the kids doing pottery. But having sports, but the main thing they do is sit and get their brain filled with all kinds of things which divert their attention from the real purpose of life. And it makes life very, very complex. And of course, the main home occupation for girls, well, there are many things. There's no end. A woman's work is never done, I used to hear my mother say. But it's home life, looking after children, keeping things clean, making rangavali outside the home. These are all the occupations for girls, but now they have to go to college and get ahead and get a degree. And in the meantime, they got an abortion several times also. And all culture is spoiled. And the brainwashing is such that parents don't even want their children to remain at home. They want them to leave for the big cities and get a bigger job, a better job, get ahead, earn and send money home. And the result is, you were telling me last night, the Brahmin families, they sent all their kids to America and they never thought, who's going to look after me in my old age? So they're all lamenting and rotting away in old age homes. The money is being sent by their children from America, but there's no one to look after them with the love and affection and the duty that they gave to their own parents, because they were told, why are you just being a Brahmin sitting at home studying the Vedas and got good brain, you send your kids, let them get a good job. So they got a good job and the parents are rotting away in old age homes and the whole culture is broken down. There's no farm labor available because the kids are going to school. You go in the villages, you'll see they're all in their uniforms going to school. So the kids who used to help in the farms, they don't help in the farms. And then the older people, they also don't want to work in the farms because they have the idea that it's all very backward and you have to get a better job. And the government gives them, how much is it? 300 rupees a day? Guaranteed employment. The government makes a scheme that you get, we'll give you 300 rupees and we'll give you work. And the total amount of work they do is signing each day and getting the money. And they have to give a bribe to the person who's dispatching the money, and they get money, and they, whatever little money they get, they drink, and then they sleep. And you find it's the women in the villages who are working in the fields, because the men, they get money for doing nothing. They're all drunk, and the women, they're interested in feeding their children, so they go out to work, and the kids are at school. And the whole culture's broken down. No one wants to do hard work, which is required for manual labor, and then the small farms collapse, and there's no one to work them, and then the big companies come in and make huge farms, agribusiness. They destroy the soil, they destroy they're destroying the soil. There's so much protest all over the world against these Monsanto, but they're not just destroying the soil, they're destroying the soul. That's even more important. It all goes together. And the people are moved off the land, and the forests are all cut down, and completely exploitive mentality. In the cities, the children send to school, and the mothers are unoccupied, and they want to go to work. They need to work so they have enough. Their husband is working, if they have a husband. And then they have to work to earn enough money to send their children to prestigious schools, which you have to pay for. And then the kids, they don't grow up at home. They grow up more. They spend more time at the school. They don't eat their mother's food. There's a very good arrangement, midday meals in the schools, so that the mothers don't cook for the children, and the mothers are anyway too busy to cook, and they went to school, so they never learned how to cook. That's another thing. That's a normal thing in India nowadays, right? Girls learn to cook when they get married. They didn't. They're supposed to learn from about the age of 3 or so, literally. But then they can just cook a few things here and there, but they don't bother. They go in the cities. There are plenty of places where you can eat. Standing up, right? You see, in Bangalore, they stand up. There's not enough space to get them seats, and anyway, they're in a hurry, and rush off. And or you see people walking down the street, chomping on a hamburger or something. I remember once in London, I just went outside a center in central London. It's in right in hell, which means it's in central London. And really, I mean, I'm not just, Prabhupada also said London is hell, so it's authorized. But even if Prabhupada didn't say it, it is hell anyway. So I walked out once and I saw it's midday, and there's a guy, he's got something which I didn't look at too closely because you wouldn't want to, something horrible in one hand, chomping on it, and in the meantime, he's holding a phone in the other hand and speaking and walking down the street as fast as he can without bumping into all the other people who are doing the same thing coming the other way. And this is his lunch break. It's supposed to be his break. The poor people, I mean. And this is supposed to be prestigious or something, to work in London and earn lots of money. What a horrible society they're made. They've made. The mothers, they hardly see their children, the children see their parents, the children go off somewhere else and work, and the whole family's the idea of a family breaks down. You used to ask people something, if you meet them all as kids, we say, well, what does your father do? But you may not ask that question nowadays because they don't have a father, actually. Is that right in Sweden? Would you ask as a child at school, what does your father do? Maybe not. Maybe he has two mothers, two lesbians as mothers. No, it's quite seriously. And it's about 50% of kids grow up in America with only one biological parent. So we hear from the statistics, and this is called progress of civilization. Somehow They see it as progress, and stupid Indians are following all this. You've got to be really stupid to see such a horrible thing and want to follow it, but somehow it's wonderful. You see, you get more money and you drive. If you go to Bangalore, everyone's got a car and they're all stuck in traffic jams, and it's wonderful. But look at the people's faces. Forget Bangalore, just go in Salem and look at people's faces. Does anyone look even slightly happy? And then they go to Bangalore to become more happy. I don't think happiness even, maybe that word's going to get forgotten or so. Happiness means what? Having sex. Is that it? That's about it. That's all the happiness. That's it. Their whole life, that's all they get. Just, even the animals. And then the animals are also tortured. From the beginning of life, they make the children just selling them things. The children, they've got to have phones also, right? What's the age they get a phone? 6, 7, maybe before that. And then through the phone, they brainwash them and sell them. And the parents, that's their affection for their children. They don't have time to look after the children, so they show them affection by giving them the latest phone. And then the girls who they don't have any idea that they're supposed to have children. Their whole idea is they should get a job, and then eventually when they have babies, it's a big disturbance for them. So they stick them in a creche or a kindergarten or something. And babies are just a disturbance. And then economically, they're just a problem. They have to pay for them so much. And the girls are trained to be enjoyers of this world. It means consumers. Consumer society means you work, you earn money, and you spend. That is your whole function in life. And all other things we present, like sports and sex, and all, that's just a diversion to keep you running on. So you work and earn money and spend money. That's what you do. And whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, whatever you do, do whatever you damn well like, but just earn money and spend money. That's all. That is your function. And the children, they're just a burden, and they feel that. And the girls, they don't want to be mothers because, you know, I can't enjoy so much if I'm all this getting pregnant and having children and having to look after them is just a burden. And the children feel that they're not wanted, they're not loved. And how is it that they're now school? It's become a common thing that children, they take a gun into the school and they go and shoot a bunch of people dead. Why? Why should they do that? Children, why should they should be so innocent and protected? But they're full of anger and hatred at such a young age. The world has rejected them. In the schools, the boys and girls are together, and naturally they're attracted. And then sex, because kim anyat kama hetukam, what else is there to do? The parents encourage. You dress in provocative clothing. I know this was maybe 15, 20 years ago. I said to some girl coming to the town, why are you wearing these jeans? And they, well, actually, I'd like to wear good clothes, but my mother says I have to wear tight jeans. Very good. Dar se kaho ham Hindu hai. Yes. The whole concept of love, what does love mean? It means having sex, that's all. Or making yourself look attractive. so that someone, some, the girls dress up just so someone can come and exploit them. The whole concept of being a good wife, a good mother, for a woman, that is her perfection. Good wife, good mother, and good devotee. She doesn't have to do anything else. Even as devotees, someone, girl joins, oh yeah, you should aspire to be a GBC. Go and join our college and become a GBC. And just, who's teaching them that you don't have to, our life is meant for being Krishna conscious, that's all. And your function in this world, you'll be a good wife, good mother, and you look after children nicely and raise them in Krishna consciousness. No one's teaching. So Srila Prabhupada, he saw this Western civilization, and from the very beginning, even before, you can see from these purports, even before he went to the West, he understood what a degraded and degrading society it is. And although Srila Prabhupada in some ways appreciated it, well-organized, in some ways there are some very good things, but pretty much Prabhupada, he opposed or didn't like or disfavored practically everything about the modern or Western-style civilization. He wanted to introduce a whole new way of life, dress style, diet, sexual mores, ethics, compared to the Western world, the whole political system, economic system, Srila Prabhupada opposed it, educational system, the science, he was not enamored by it, even the medical system, everything about it, the whole whoosh, whoosh, motor car, break and build civilization, Srila Prabhupada opposed that, and he wanted to make communities of devotees. He did make communities of devotees, but his idea wasn't just to make a few people who are rebelling against society or running away from society, but he wanted to change the whole world by introducing a completely different system, a wholly different approach to civilization. It is not just, well, should we be capitalists or communists or fascists or socialists or anarchists or green or red or blue or whatever. It's a completely different approach to civilization with the understanding that human life is meant for God realization. We're only in this human body for a short time. We should utilize this time so that we don't get born again, so that we go to Krishna. So our farm and communities especially, they're meant to break out, give people an opportunity to break out of this cycle of work and spend and forget Krishna. It's meant to break. Even in Mayapur, we see the devotees, the so many devotees come from overseas and live there, but they have to go back every year to earn money. But that wasn't Prabhupada's idea, that people can live. He wanted to, it should be a city, means there should be handicrafts. It was one of the first things. Actually, it's the first thing when you notice when you came into ISKCON in Mayapur in 1976, which is when I first went there. The first thing, you don't even see it, you hear it. Clack, 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 clack. It's the handlooms, which are right on the wall. Those rooms are still there on the wall. If you go to the right side as you enter, nowadays it's all shops. But at that time it was residences, and the handlooms were there. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that, a city, not just a tourist spot. A tourist spot, yes, a spiritual or religious tourist spot, but people should engage in handicrafts. So this big, big challenge ahead of our whole movement, it's not enough simply to disparage the modern civilization. We should do that, otherwise we we run the risk of becoming enamored by it. But to set up an alternative, how is it possible? It seems like such a impossible challenge, but then Srila Prabhupada, at the end of the purport that we read just now today, Srila Prabhupada gives the means, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastriva, 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 Gatiranyata. This is by the power of the holy name, purely chanted. Dino Hino Joto Chilo, Hariname Udharilo. It happened in the past. The fallen people can be uplifted, and it will continue in the present. And practical programs, the Srila Prabhupada's Varnashram initiatives, and training young boys from the beginning, Gurukul, Sri Praharadu Vacha, Kaumara Acharad Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavataniha, Durlabhang Manusham Janma, Tadapya Dhruvam Artadam. Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse, Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful, because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Now, these are the programs. Srila Prabhupada gave us the holy name. He gave us the idea of a whole different approach to civilization. He gave us the means to do it, and it's really up to us to do it. It's not just something theoretical written in Srila Prabhupada's books, but our real being followers of Prabhupada will be demonstrated, not just by saying, but by doing, by establishing these communities. And there are so many things to do in the Krishna Conscious Movement. This is a major task for present and future followers of Srila Prabhupada. And with that community comes the protection of cows, protection of old people, protection of children, protection of women, protection of brahmanas. Everything comes by this initiative. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? There's so much can be said, but I'll stop there. Any question or comment, please? Yes, please.
One of the points in the purport was that if you drink a lot of milk, your brain will develop. So I was walking once in the evening. Usually the milk is served in the evening, and I was walking with a sannyasi, Jayadvaita Swami. And
where were you
in
walking?
Philadelphia. Uh-huh. Philadelphia in the 1980s. I said, it's time for
excuse
milk.
Excuse me, that's Gita Nagari, is it?
No, Philadelphia Temple.
There were cows being milked there?
No, not our cows. I mean, drinking milk. To drink milk in the evening.
I see. It used to be standards in our temples in the West. It used to be standard in our temples in the West to serve milk at night.
But yes.
It seems to be largely forgotten in many of them.
Well, my point was a little different. I was saying to Jayadvaita Swami, it's time for milk. Or I'm going for some milk. Are you going to drink some milk? And he said, no, I don't drink milk. I said, well, what about developing your brain? And he said, well, that was a lost cause a long time ago. So I'm just wondering if, you know, you're telling us we all have to demonstrate these changes that...
Yeah.
Do we have the brain to do it?
Provocative question. Well, if Jayadvaita Swami doesn't think he has any brain, then what hope is there for us? He's on a significantly higher IQ level than the average devotee. well ahead. Well, in this regard, I'll cite one anecdote which I got from Burijan Prabhu, and I included it in the Brahmachari book. Srila Prabhupada, in a class somewhere in Australia, I believe it was, said that if one retains one's semen for the first 20 years of life, he develops so much brain power. And then Prabhupada opened his eyes and looked at all the Brahmacharis looking morose. And Prabhupada said, and if you chant Hare Krishna, you also become intelligent. Yajanti hi sumedasaha. One who has got good intelligence worships Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Sankirtan Yajna. There was the brainwashing case in New York State, New York City. That was late 1976, and I believe it got resolved early 1977. And Srila Prabhupada was giving arguments to Adi Keshav Swami how to counteract these charges of brainwashing. And Prabhupada said, yes, we need to wash your brain because it's full of stool, but actually we're not a brainwashing movement, we're a brain-giving movement because you have no brain. So it's a fact that actual intelligence begins with discriminating between spirit and matter. And there's no idea of that. Prabhupada gave that. Many of his followers were, from the material point of view, very intelligent. And mostly we see that people who take to Krishna consciousness, well, traditionally we could say they're mostly middle class and somewhat educated and thoughtful. But the real intelligence to discriminate between spirit and matter, no one's giving that. That, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that's given by Guru and Krishna. And even in what, if you want to call it Vedic times, whatever that means, because the Vedas are eternal, we find, who is that? That comes in the, which Upanishad is that? Chandogya, is it? The boy comes home and he's very proud. He studied all the Vedas. And then his father says, so, well, the point is he hadn't understood what is spirit. Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. Then he instructed him in spiritual knowledge. So it may be that one study in the Vedas also, but doesn't know the difference between spirit and matter. Of course, he was pointing out, his father is pointing out, that you are that. So it's not that he was pointing out the non-difference between spirit and matter. Or as Madhva explains, that means you are of that. You belong to that. But yeah, it is specifically Srimad Bhagavatam is actual knowledge. Kalod nashta drisham esha purana kodanodita. People who have lost their vision, their intelligence in the dark age of Kali, they will get light from the sun, which is the Bhagavat Purana. Spiritual intelligence is required, and drinking milk can help to nourish the brain tissues, which can be utilized just like hardware for contemplating spiritual knowledge and understanding with spiritual intelligence. That statement should be qualified. It doesn't mean we should all drink 10 liters of milk a day. Or anyone should drink 10 liters of milk a day. As much as one can digest can be taken, not more. We do hear in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I believe it was his maternal grandfather at Choti in Orissa. He was a yogi type. And he used to drink at night 5 shares, which is like 5 kilos of milk, boiled down, and he would take that. So maybe people previously, they could take more. take according to our needs. But that's also important. And in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada is very concerned that the Gurukul boys get cow's milk every evening. Any other question? Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. This book should be covered. Right?